You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend, and joining us today is Kevin Bixby. Kevin is the executive director of the Southwest Environmental Center, and this is an organization that has a lot going for itself, and they have a lot to offer you and me as the public and enjoying the great outdoors. But we have the opportunity to visit with Kevin this morning, and we want to thank you so much, Kevin, for being with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
So I mentioned the Southwest Environmental Center. What is the center?
We are a private nonprofit organization founded in 1992, based in Las Cruces. Our mission is to protect wildlife and their habitats in the Southwest. And we do that through advocacy, educational programs, and on-the-ground habitat restoration work. Some of the campaigns some of the issues that we're involved with include working to make sure that the Mexican gray wolf is firmly reestablished in its historic home in the Southwest. And we are also working to end the practice of wildlife killing contests in New Mexico and elsewhere. We've long been an advocate for protecting and restoring the Rio Grande in southern New Mexico and West Texas to ecological health. And then we offer a number of different sorts of programs to raise awareness for the public of, you know, the natural heritage and the wonderful wildlife and public lands and open spaces that we have here in the Southwest, including we produce a hiking guide to the area. It's the only one exclusively for this area, 45 hikes that you can do in a day from El Paso or Las Cruces. We offer monthly talks at the center called Tuesday Talks on the second Tuesdays of the month. And then we offer our Back by Noon outing series, which are Saturday morning guided natural history walks that look at go to different destinations and look at different aspects of our natural history in the area.
So tell us about the Back by Noon. We are already this is the first week of March, already ended. However, there are so many Back by Noon places and tours that you have already in line for the upcoming summer and the upcoming months. If you wouldn't mind sharing that with us, and how did that come about, that program, Back by Noon?
Well, we started it quite a while ago. I'd say probably 20 years ago. We realized that people love what they know. And, I mean, they don't love what they don't know. So we wanted to, as an organization that focuses on the conservation of our natural landscapes, we wanted to take people out to experience those landscapes for themselves and hopefully get them involved in our efforts to protect these areas. And we offer these series usually twice a year, once in the spring, and again in the fall. We sort of go indoors for the summer.
Well, I'm looking at on your webpage. It's a wonderful webpage because you have some incredible pictures of the landscape. And, of course, that I love that picture of the gray wolf. Beautiful. I want to ask you a little bit about the Anthony Gap Cave, because a lot of people who grew up in this area know about the Anthony Gap, and that was basically they referred to the Anthony Gap before Trans Mountain was around, and that's how people would go across the mountain into northeast El Paso.
Yeah, that's our guide, Don Baumgart of El Paso. He's an avid hiker and owner of Gio Betty Tours. I unfortunately did not have a chance to go on that trip, but we try and offer a mix of outings that are of interest to people living in El Paso as well as Las Cruces. So this last week we took a trip down to the Rio Bosque, and John Sproul, the wildlife biologist and park manager, gave us a great tour. That's such a fantastic natural jewel that El Paso is so lucky to have, that 372-acre park there full of birds and wildlife. It's just wonderful. And then, next weekend we'll be back up in the Oregon Mountains. We're going to another cave, the Achenbach Canyon Cave. And that's one of the great things about these outings is they go places where even people that have grown up in the area might not know about. And of course, there's always a guide. So even if you have been to that area, or that destination, chances are you'll learn something new.
Now, of course, we want to let our listeners know that you couldn't go to the Anthony Gap Cave because you were here with us. And, we all are, we're dressed in some nice suits talking to each other. And so we wouldn't want to get those dirty, right, Kevin?
Right. You know, sometimes you have to just take one for the team and can't always go have fun outdoors.
We thank you that you took one for the team. We're visiting with Kevin Bixby. Kevin is the executive director of the Southwest Environmental Center. That's located in Las Cruces. And we're talking about what the center does, some of the events, upcoming events, what have they done in the past, some of the places that you can visit, and how you can help them. And for people who are listening and are interested in these Back by Noon outings, Kevin, do they have to be a member of the Southwest Environmental Center, or how does that work?
You don't need to be a member to go on these outings. They are free. They're open to the public. Of course, we are a nonprofit, and we are a membership organization, so we do rely on the support of our members to do our work and keep the doors open and offer these outings. But we don't require that you be a member. We hope that, of course, that you will consider joining after you go on the outing, but that's not a requirement.
And as far as people showing up for one of these hikes, do they need to sign up online, or do they just show up at the designated time and place?
No, we ask that people register in advance by calling us. We try and a lot of these outings have a maximum number of participants. In order to have a quality experience, we don't want a huge crowd. And so we do ask that people sign up in advance. It's first come, first serve. One of the benefits of being a member of the Southwest Environmental Center is that we do reserve half the slots on each outing for our members.
And what is the cap on these hikes as far as the number?
It varies according to where we're going or what we're doing. For the bird watching tours, we want to keep it small. We usually cap it around 20 people. For the botanizing trips where we go out to see, desert wildflowers or cacti or whatever, medicinal plants, we'll sometimes there won't be a cap for those. We'll get maybe 30, 35 people. It just depends on where we're going and what we're doing.
Kevin, you mentioned earlier that most of us, even though we've lived in this area, and myself included, for a number of years, we're not aware of things that and places that are out there because we either drive by them or just read about them, but we never experience that. And you're helping the people in the El Paso, Las Cruces area with these hikes and all the adventures. But there's also a book that people can buy and find out more about these places they're going to visit. It's called Day Hikes and Nature Walks in the Las Cruces, El Paso area. You want to tell us about this book?
Yeah, that's our hiking guide. We just came out with a new edition last year with some additional hikes and some revisions. It's a great little guide. If you want to get out and explore the area, learn about the area, there are 45 hikes described in the book, and they're all, as I said, doable in a day from Las Cruces or El Paso. Some of them are very easy, and some of them are quite strenuous. There are a number of hikes in the Franklin Mountains. There are a number of hikes in the Oregon Mountains. There's a hike out to Cornutas Mountains out on Otero Mesa, east of El Paso. There is a Cook's Peak is described in there, the hike up Cook's Peak, which is to the west of us outside of Deming. So, you can really go in almost any direction except south into Mexico. We don't cover any hikes in Mexico. But if you're interested in getting outdoors and exploring the area, I highly recommend the book. We sell it in the office here. We sell it at it's carried by a number of stores. I believe in El Paso it is at the Museum of Archaeology now. You can also buy it online.
We're visiting with Kevin Bixby. Kevin is the executive director of the Southwest Environmental Center, and we're discussing the Back by Noon events that they have where you will go and hike, take a nature walk, and as the name implies, you'll back by noon. And Kevin, if you don't mind, I would like to kind of go one by one, and maybe not cover all of them, but some of the events that are coming up. You already talked about the Anthony Gap Cave and the Achenbach Canyon. Let's talk about the next one, exploring Peña Blanca.
Yeah, that's we're really excited about that one. That's a trip to Peña Blanca, which is at the southern end of the Oregon Mountains. There's a little bit of everything up there. There are some caves, some Native American sites, great views. It's and our guide is retired NMSU botany professor Richard Spellenberg, and he is if you're in the botany world, you'll recognize that name because he's well known in those circles as a botanist in the Southwest. And so we're really happy that excited that he'll be our guide, because I'm sure we're gonna learn a lot. And I just wanted to say one more thing about this, because of the rains we had this year, I think we're going to have a great wildflower season. So all of these trips, whether they're focused on plants or not, we should be seeing some great wildflowers.
And so this would be a great opportunity also for camera and shutter bugs.
Absolutely.
So tell us about Providence Cone.
Okay. That one is west of Las Cruces, out on the West Mesa. It's also known as Rattlesnake Peak. And there are a lot of petroglyphs out there, some interesting geology. And one of the really interesting things about this trip is that we'll see a Pleistocene megafauna rub. And this is an area where the rocks have been rubbed smooth by animals such as mastodons or giant ground sloths that, you know, were in the area 10,000 years ago but are no longer here. And you find these, and, you know, if you're lucky, you find these things out there in the mountains around us. I know there's one at Waco Tanks as well. So that's one of the features of this trip to Providence Cone. It will be led by Angel Pena, and he's with the Conservation Lands Foundation.
And it sounds like this would also be a great opportunity for kids, young people, because young people love exploring, looking at rocks. And so are these hikes open up to young people as well? I mean, I would imagine there's a certain age.
No, we don't have an age limit.
Okay.
You can be one day old or 100 years old or even older. They're very family friendly.
And I guess, four-wheel drive strollers, baby strollers? Or?
Well, or at least a baby backpack. I don't think a stroller would do very well on some of this terrain.
And so are there trails that you all follow, or is there something? Because some people might say, well, I do okay on a trail, but I don't want to just, you know, rough it out.
Yeah, it just depends on the outing. Some of these, like, of course, Rio Bosque, we were on trails. Some of these we will not be on a trail. And so, you know, folks have to be aware of that. Wear good footwear, watch their step, you know, maybe bring along a walking stick.
What about, the next one is very dear, I'm sure, well, to a lot of people, but to myself and my wife is New Mexico State students. When we were there, we would go to Aguirre Springs, and we would go to hike, have a cookout, whatever. And it's beautiful there for people who may not have been there before.
Yes, that's on the east side of the Oregon Mountains. That is a beautiful spot, and it's going to be a really fantastic hike because our guide is Lisa Mandelkern. She is a wonderful amateur botanist and a fantastic photographer. Her enthusiasm is absolutely contagious when she talks about plants, and she'll be leading that hike.
Now, the next one I want to talk about, because I'm sure that people who read this online or look at the brochure, they're wondering what is going on, especially with the political climate and everything that's going on right now, up close with the border wall.
Right. April 8th. I will be leading that one. One of the issues that we work on is the border wall. And the reason we are involved with that issue is because the border wall is not good for wildlife. You know, the type of wall that's been constructed around along the border with Sunland Park and Annapra, you have to see it to believe it. And, you know, I know even a lot of people that have, you know, that live in this area have probably never seen it up close. But when you see it up close, you understand the impact that it has on wildlife, because even a toad, a lizard, well, maybe a lizard can get through, but even very small animals have a difficult time passing through, not to mention larger animals like pronghorn, and that's an issue over in the Arizona side with the Sonoran pronghorn, Arizona and New Mexico, and jaguars and gray wolves, both of which occur on both sides of the border, or at least historically did, and their successful conservation into the future depends on being able to reestablish populations in the Southwest and in northern Mexico, and having you know, genetic gene flow between those populations. And a fence prevents that from happening. It prevents the movement of animals to be able to find, reoccupy habitats, suitable habitats, to find mates, to breed with others outside their family groups, and that way perpetuate the species. So the border wall is a great concern of ours, and you know it's arguably it's not that effective at stopping people. It might slow them down or cause them to go elsewhere, but it is absolutely effective in stopping the movement of wildlife. And so, yeah, we're going to go down there and down to Sunland Park and take a close look at it and talk about its impacts.
So, Kevin, they're all interesting, but this may have an even deeper interest for some people. And you mentioned that you're going to meet in the Sunland Park area. So are you're talking about, like, in the area where Mount Cristo Rey is, that area, or where exactly are you going to meet?
It'll be a little farther north and west from there. I'm not exactly sure our route yet. I haven't scouted it yet, but I know that's where we're going.
We are visiting with Kevin Bixby. Kevin is the executive director of the Southwest Environmental Center, and the center has a lot of events going on. What we're currently discussing are the Back by Noon tours, and these are hiking tours, nature walks around the area, and as the name implies, you're back by noon. So the next one is La Mancha BioBlitz.
Right. This is a BioBlitz is an effort to find and identify every single species of plant and animal in a location. And in this case, we are focused on a wetland project that we are doing, the Southwest Environmental Center is doing along the Rio Grande up by outside the town of Mesilla in New Mexico. And, you know, this is a chance for people that not only want to learn and observe, but also get their hands dirty and get engaged. So it's really all hands on deck. We can use as many people as possible on that Saturday morning. We will have some professors from NMSU out there to sort of give us some guidance. Hopefully we'll have some mist nets set up to catch birds and identify them before releasing them unharmed. We might even set up nets the night before to catch and identify bats. We'll probably be setting up some small mammal traps. And these are all, all these methods of capturing these animals don't harm them, and then they are released after we identify them. So, yeah, it should be really interesting. If you're interested in the flora and fauna of this area and you want to help out, this is a great way to do it.
You know, you mentioned bats, and a lot of people are mostly familiar with bats, reading about them in the books, watching movies, and, of course, Carlsbad Caverns. But some people may say, well, do bats, are they around during the daytime, or how can you explain that to us?
Well, of course, they don't come out during the day. Normally, but they're very important ecologically. They, of course, eat a lot of insects. They're nature's pest control. very important for our farmers and the rest of us who would prefer not to have so many mosquitoes around. We, in fact, have installed some bat houses at the La Mancha wetland site in the hopes of providing, enticing more bats to move in and use the bat houses for their daytime roost and then to come out at night to do their thing.
You mentioned birds earlier as well, and in that following week, you're going to be looking at migratory birds of the Rio Grande Valley.
Right. It's a birding trip with Ken Stinnett. He's an expert birder, lives in Las Cruces. He's also on the board of the Southwest Environmental Center. He's a great birder and he's a great teacher. He actually works as a professional nature guide for Ted Turner on his ranches. That should be good. You know, the Rio Grande Valley is a major migratory bird flyway, so we get a lot of birds coming through here, through El Paso and Las Cruces, as they move north or south. In this case, they'll be moving north. So and the migration should be in full swing. That trip is the end of April. So we should, unless it's really windy, we should get a lot of good birding in. And you don't need to be an expert. Ken will help everybody. All abilities are welcome.
And the following week, something that sometimes terrifies people when they hear that word, the word snake, but you're going to talk about reptiles of the Chihuahuan Desert.
Right. You know, I encourage people who have are skeptical of reptiles to keep an open mind, because we really live in an area that is blessed with a high diversity of reptile species, which, you know, snakes and lizards and turtles. And our guide for that trip will be biologist Nikki Herrings, who was recently a professor at NMSU. And, you know, it should, you know, hopefully we'll see a lot of snakes, and she'll explain, you know, why snakes are important, as well as, you know, other reptiles. So that should be a great trip. And I just wanted to mention, Louis, that we're having a talk at the center this month, Tuesday, March 14th. And it's called Living with Snakes, Coexisting with Our Friends in the Desert. And, you know, of course, it's getting warm out there, and snakes will be out soon if they're not already. So this talk is a great way for folks to get a better understanding of snakes, particularly rattlesnakes, and what good they are, what benefits they provide to to ecosystems, and how to deal with them if they show up on your front porch. And our speaker will be Frank Bryce, who is a former federal wildlife biologist, and he's very knowledgeable, very entertaining, and he actually keeps several rattlesnakes as pets, for educational purposes, and he will bring those in so we can see what the different species look like. Of course, they'll be in cages. And he also has a pet Gila monster, which is a native lizard. I think North America's only venomous lizard, which is native to New Mexico. I'm not sure about Texas. And he's got one, he thinks it's the oldest Gila monster in captivity, but he'll bring that one in as well.
And you mentioned, while you're talking about Gila monster, as I was reading that flyer that you sent out earlier in the week about this talk, that the Gila monster's habitat is being threatened currently due to us.
Yeah, like many species, humans have encroached on the Gila monster's habitat for, you know, development of agricultural areas or you know, suburban residential housing development, et cetera. So, yeah, there's, you know, it's happening around the world with most species. We're just, as human numbers expand, we are expanding into their habitats.
You earlier mentioned about, killing contests, and I wasn't aware of this, but the fact that coyote killing contests are popular in New Mexico.
They're popular in New Mexico. They're popular in Texas. They're popular in Arizona. In fact, they are becoming more popular in other states back east as the coyote has expanded its range. They're really awful. They're legal in every state except for California. There is a bill in the New Mexico legislature as we speak that would ban coyote killing contests in New Mexico, which would make New Mexico the first state to pass a law prohibiting killing contests. California did it through administrative rulemaking. But, they don't serve. These events are contests for to see who can kill the most coyotes, or in some cases also the largest coyote or the smallest coyote, which means the youngest. And they're really just killing for fun. They don't serve any legitimate management purpose. They don't help ranchers protect their livestock because they're not targeting, an animal that's causing problem. It's just indiscriminate killing. It's not something that most hunters, we don't have a problem with hunting at all, but it's not something that most hunters participate in. It's a very fringe element, and it's really, if you look at wildlife as a public resource, this is not a good use, in our opinion, of the public's resource, and it's just wrong to be killing animals for fun, especially intelligent animals such as coyotes that have family units and can feel pain, or they have their basically their coyote societies, and these contests are disrespect all that and disrupt their social structures.
Many of us love to shop, and especially online. And from what I understand, if you buy something from Amazon or eBay, or even go to Savers, that you can help the center.
That's right. Amazon has this thing called Amazon Smile, where if you shop through Amazon online, you can sign up for Amazon Smile. It's really easy to do. And when you do it, just you have to tell Amazon which nonprofit you would like to your purchases to benefit. And if you identify the Southwest Environmental Center as that nonprofit, then Amazon will send a portion of the money that you spend to us. It doesn't cost you anything. It's just Amazon funnels a little bit of their profits back to the nonprofit world.
Kevin, as we wrap up this interview, and we've really enjoyed chatting with you, and we want to talk a little bit about people, if they're interested in the Back by Noon or some of the other events that you've been talking about. What is your website, or what is the best way to reach you?
Our website is wildmesquite.org. MESQUITE.org. And folks can call us as well. It's 575-522-5552.
Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you, Louis. Really appreciate it.
We've been visiting with Kevin Bixby. Kevin is the executive director of the Southwest Environmental Center. Again, if you need additional information, you can go to their website, wildmesquite.org, or call area code 575-522-5552. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Science.